Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we appreciate you listening in today. I hope you're staying warm and safe and in. We have a lot of snow here this morning in the high country, and not as many people out on the roads as usual, but the main roads look pretty good, and then the side roads, they still have a lot of snow and slush and all that stuff on them. But I'm thankful to be here today. It's good to have Noah with us. He made it into the radio station today, and I appreciate all his help and what he does. Are you having a good day, Noah?
Yes, I am. It's good to be here. And we do want to say welcome to all the listeners who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also our listeners on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
It is, like we've already said, good to be here, and we do appreciate all of our listeners. We are in the third week on a new series that we've started, and if you're just tuning in today, what we're talking about is your liberty, your health, and the Bible. And one thing we've noticed over the years pastoring churches, and if you're in church, you get to be around a lot of people, and you know about a lot of sicknesses and things that are going on in the community and different people all the time. It's something that is constant. But one thing I've noticed over the years is if you lose your health, you've lost your liberty. And it doesn't matter how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are, how important your job is, how busy you are. It does not even matter how good your insurance coverage is, or it doesn't matter how good your doctors are, or your specialist, or the hospital you're going to. If sickness comes along, it makes you a captive, and you become dependent upon others. And so we were just taking a little time during the winter months here, the end of February. We're going to carry this over into the month of March. But your health is one thing that you do have some control over. Now, anybody can get sick at any time. We realize that. So when we're talking about your health, we're talking about being a good steward over the health that you do have. And if we are a good steward over it, maybe we can improve our health even just a little bit. And the Bible actually has a great deal to say about our health. So we can be a good steward over the health that we have, and we can neglect it. And sadly, a lot of people, they just outright neglect their health. When we first started a few weeks ago, I gave seven things that we find in the first two chapters in the Bible that are actually foundations for healthy living. I came across this years ago in a little book, and the name of it has just slipped my mind. I can see the picture of it, and I can see the book, but I can't remember the title. But anyway, that's what the way it phrased it, seven foundations for healthy living. But these things are free. These things are in the Bible, the first two chapters. And we gave these: air, water, food, sunshine, exercise, rest, and of course, faith. Faith plays a very important part in our overall being. But last week, we looked at the air. We need clean, pure air in order to be healthy. The Bible calls that in the beginning the firmament. And Adam, from the moment that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, Adam became dependent upon the firmament, upon the air, the atmosphere. We all, human beings, we've got to have air to live. So we talked about that, and it's a very interesting study. But today we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about water, and we need pure water in order to be healthy. And the Bible actually has a great deal to say about water, And last Sunday night, I was preaching out of the last chapter in the book of Revelation, and the last illustration in the Bible talks about, it says, "He that is athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely." The last illustration in the Bible is of water, and it is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "I'm the living water." And it's interesting in all these examples that we're giving, they're actually a type of Christ as well. So there's a physical application, there is a spiritual application. The Word of God is just absolutely amazing the more I study into it. But we're going to look at water today in the book of Daniel. And I'm not going to give a lot of background. I don't have time to do that. And I've got a lot of things I want to share with you today. But you find over there, maybe if you were growing up in Sunday school, you remember hearing about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, the Bible says that these young men that were carried away into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, that these children, and that's what they were when they were carried away captives, they were children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now Nebuchadnezzar went throughout the children who had been carried away captive, and he chose out the top of the class. He chose the ones that were the smartest, the brightest, that had the most potential, and he carried them into the palace in order to nurture them and bring them up that they might serve him. He's going to get the cream of the crop. And Daniel was among those. And it says about these young men that they were skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. These were bright young men. Daniel was among them. They had wisdom. They had knowledge. They understood science even at that day. And I think sometimes people think, well, ancient people, people in the Bible, the Egyptians and all of them, they were, you know, they weren't that smart. We're smarter today. But I always think about the pyramids and the Great Pyramid and these seven wonders of the ancient world. Man, modern man cannot figure out how ancient man accomplished such feats, how that they were able to do these things. They were a lot smarter than we are. That's what I'm saying. Psalms 119, verse 99, David said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And the psalmist there is talking about his understanding. His understanding, he contributed to a twofold factor. One, he said, thy testimonies. That's the Word of God. He knew something about the Word of God, the Bible. And he said, thy testimonies are my meditation. He not only read it, but he thought about it. He understood what the Bible was saying. And when I study these Bible characters and even history, we find in history many, many examples of this. These people were masters of something that I believe today is a lost art. And they were experts in a field that we have forgotten even exists. And what they were experts in, they were experts in observation. They observed nature. They understood the laws, the God's laws of nature and how it operated in the world. They understood how to navigate by the stars, and they understood how to build things. They understood how their bodies worked by observation and also by application, which we call common sense. They had more common sense than we do in many, many areas. Now, Daniel knew more about his diet and what he needed than the king and the king's nutritionist. I'm going to read here out of Daniel chapter 1. Maybe you are already familiar with the story, but I'm going to read just a few verses. Now, I've already read verse 4. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were the top of the class. They were had knowledge, wisdom, understanding. They understood science. Verse 5 said, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So they were brought into the king's palace. They were given the king's diet. Now you have to understand that the king's diet would be an abomination unto Daniel and all the Jews. There was unclean meat, there was alcoholic wine, and all of these things which Daniel, he knew according to the Bible, that God had forbidden for them to eat. The Bible said in verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel, he had made up his mind, he'd made up his heart that he was not going to eat this stuff and he was not going to drink the king's wine. So Daniel put forth a proposition to the prince of the eunuchs, the men that were overseeing Daniel and the other young men. Verse 12 said that Daniel said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Daniel said, just give us 10 days. Let us have pulse to eat and water to drink. And after 10 days, you can look at us and you can decide who is healthier, who looks better, who is fitter. Daniel knew that what the king had prescribed was going to be bad for their health. It was going to deteriorate their mind and their bodies. And he said, give us a different diet. Pulse to eat. And instead of drinking wine every day and every night like the king does, just give us water to drink. Daniel knew what was best, and he made this proposition. And in verse 15, and at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So Daniel was right. Daniel is a biblical example. I want to give you a historical example. I've come across in my studies over the years many what I would call older preachers. I'm talking about from the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s that taught about and preached about how important their health was. I'm sure most everybody has heard about Jonathan Edwards. He preached the great message that I even read about in literature in public high school. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Late 1700s or mid 1700s, Jonathan Edwards is known throughout all the land of America, through the 13 continents. Well, Jonathan Edwards was actually very poor in health as an adult. I'm taking this from a history book. Jonathan Edwards exercised, slept very little, and ate very little. He used investigation and argument in his works, meaning as he looked at his life and what he ate and how he felt, he would ask himself the question, does this work? And another paragraph said, physically he was frail and he knew it. He worked on his health. He paid close attention to his diet, even to the point of noting what foods affected his body and mind. So when he ate something, he asked himself, does this make me feel good? Does this make me feel terrible? And he would write it down in his diet, in his diary. And then it said in the book, but most obviously he walked with God. And we cannot underemphasize how important that is, that we walk with the Lord. Well, that comes into the faith part of our health. But we say all that to say this, when it comes to your health, you are the one that knows the most. You know what's been going on. You know more than the doctors. You know more than the nurses. You need to learn how things affect your health, and you need to observe them, and you need to apply them. Now, most people, it seems to me like, they go the what they think is the easier route. Well, I'm not feeling good. First thing I'm going to do, run off to the doctor. What does he do? He says, well, I'm going to take a guess at it. You've got a virus. You've got this. You've got that. I'm going to prescribe something. You're going to go down to the pharmacy, and you're going to take something. You really have no idea what it is. You're going to put it into your body in good faith that that's going to heal you, that that's going to make you better. But, you know, as you study about this, it may not be the most effective thing you could do. It surely is not the most economical thing you could do. It may not be the safest thing that you can do. And so I'm just going to spend the rest of the time today talking about water, how important water is. I found several interesting things in studying just about water. I found several different sayings I thought were pretty good. One website that I was looking at, it said, drugs kill, water heals. And I'm not talking, you're not going to find this down at your doctor's office while you're waiting to go in. This would come under the heading of alternative methods or alternative medicine or natural medicine. That's what I'm talking about today. You're not sick, you're dehydrated. One article I read said that. Another said, you're not sick, you're thirsty, don't treat thirst with medication. And then I thought about this, God is not trying to heal us, or let me rephrase that, God is trying to heal us, and the devil is trying to kill us. And that certainly seems to be the case many times. Water is God's original health drink. Daniel knew something the king did not know. And he said, he made the proposition for 10 days. Now, he just said, let's just try this. And that's what I'm saying today. There's some things maybe you could just try that would improve your health. Daniel said, for 10 days, let us eat pulse and drink water. We'll come back to the food part. That was the pulse. But I'm going to focus today on the water part. Let us eat pulse and drink water 10 days. Just try this for 10 days and see if we're not better off than all the others. Now, first of all, we want to say something about the science of water. Water is very, very important to our bodies. Your muscles are 75% water. Your blood, 82% water. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if you've ever had circulation problems, you know how important the blood is. It is just exactly what the Bible says. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Bad blood, bad life. Bad blood, no life. So you got to have blood. Your blood is 82% water. Your lungs are 90% water. Do you know that throughout the day, you will actually breathe out of your body about 2 quarts of water? You say, how is that? How would you breathe out? Take a glass. If you wear glasses, take them off your head. Breathe onto that glass. You do that to clean your glasses. What is that? That is water coming out. That is a vapor coming out of your body. So you're breathing out 2 quarts of water every day. Your brain is 76% water. Your bones are 26% water. I say all that to say this, your body needs water. A large part of your makeup is just simply water. And a lack of water can manifest itself as many different sicknesses. Heartburn, arthritis, back pain, angina, migraines, colitis, asthma, high blood pressure, the onset of diabetes. Water lowers your blood cholesterol levels. There's just so much of this that is just common sense. Your body needs water in order to function properly. And if it cannot function properly, it will manifest itself in some type of sickness. I think I've got time to give an example. Colitis, for example. Colitis is chronic stomach ache. And constipation. That's what colitis is. Your body needs water, your lungs, your brain, your bones. If you are not getting enough water in your body, your large intestines, they wrench, they squeeze every drop of available water from your food. So if you're not getting enough water in, your large intestines, they wrench, they squeeze. That is a stomach ache. That will not let everything pass through your body like it needs to. And if your intestines is doing that, getting all the water out of your food and trying to get extra water, that leaves no lubrication for digestion. So you're going to have problems. Well, here's what you can do. You go to the doctor and he says, well, you got colitis. We're going to prescribe Humira. That's one of the top 20 prescriptions, and you could choose any. I mean, just pick one off the shelf in your house. And the doctor gives you a medication. He says, here, take this home. Take this. This should help you. Well, have you ever read the small print? Possible side effects. I'm talking about one medication. Possible side effects. Cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer, lymphoma, melanoma. You may also develop an autoimmune disorder such as a lupus-like syndrome. Before you take this, talk with your doctor. And it always amazes me, these drug advertisements on TV. And it's just the happiest scene you ever seen in your life. And all these people taking all these drugs. And then they get down to the end. And it's the same thing every time. You may get cancer. You may have a heart attack. You may do this. You may do that. Talk to your doctor before taking this product. If you have it, discontinue use immediately. I mean, drugs are dangerous things, prescription or non-prescription. But here's what I'm saying today. 10 days of drinking more water, your possible side effects are zero. It's not going to hurt you to try to do what the Bible says. You need to drink more water. If you're not getting enough water, it's very likely going to make you sick. But it's not going to hurt you to try it. The recommendation is to drink half your body weight in ounces of water every day. That means if you weigh 200 pounds, you drink 100 ounces of water. That's about 3 liters. Some people drink that much Coca-Cola every day. You can do it, and it'll improve your health. It will help you. There's the science of water. There's much we could say. There's the sources of water. We're talking about water. Daniel said, let us eat pulse and drink water. I'm not talking about coffee. I'm not talking about soft drinks. People say, well, there's water in soft drinks. I'm not talking about water in iced tea, juice drinks, Gatorade. I'm not talking about fluoridated water. There's an article this morning on a news website from England that talked about the dangers of putting fluoride in public drinking water. This is something that the public is becoming more and more aware of, that years ago they put fluoride in water for your teeth, but it's actually causing a lot of health problems among people. And so I'm not talking about fluoridated water, city water. Water that comes out of a waste treatment plant or whatever, wherever it comes from. We're not talking about that. We're talking about fresh, clean water. Your body needs that. In Judges chapter number 7, we read in the Bible where Gideon put a test on the soldiers and told them to go down and drink water out of the river. Well, they just went down and scooped it up right out of the river. Do you know nobody would do that today? You'd be afraid to go out to the creek and get a drink of water. You don't know what's in it. It may make you sick. Clean water is not as abundant as you might think. I read an article the other day, and it was in a recent American Legion magazine. It was talking about the water crisis in America and even in the world. And I was amazed at this. I never realized, but it said that 99% of the water in the world is salt water. Think about this. Only 1% of the water in the world is fresh water, clean water. That's not a great deal. Water is a precious, precious commodity. So we're talking about clean water. My time is quickly getting gone today, but we're talking about clean water. You got to have clean water. If you got a well with good water in it, if you got a spring, and some people still have that in the mountains, you ought to thank the Lord. That is more precious than gold. You can't drink gold. You can't drink money, but you got to have water to live. So water is more precious than all of those things. Well, anyway, we're talking about the scripture and water. We're talking about the source of water. Number three, quickly, I'm just going to have time to say this. There's the scriptures and water. The book of James, I'm going to read one verse. I come across this a while back, and I'd never really noticed it before, but James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And that is just simply saying that every good thing, every good gift comes from God. And you do not have to break the bank to be healthy. One of my favorite preachers I love to listen to is Brother Lester Roloff. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he preached a great deal about your health, about common sense, about relying upon the Word of God. And he talked about water, and he talked about eating fresh fruits and vegetables and all of those things. But he would say, somebody would say to him, "Brother Roloff, I cannot afford to eat healthy." And he'd say, "You can't afford to be sick." And boy, how true that is. You can't afford to be a doctor. You can't afford to go to the doctor. It's cheaper to eat healthy than it is to go to the doctor and go to the pharmacy all the time. Well, you can't afford to be sick either. But you don't have to go out and break the bank in order to be healthy. Everything you need in order to be healthy is free. Think about it. Air, water, sunshine, exercise, rest, faith, that's seven things. The only thing out of that you'll pay for is the food part. And that's a whole lot cheaper than going, like we've said, to the doctor, to the pharmacy all the time. And so water is one of those good and perfect gifts that comes from the Lord. Now, I am not making prescriptions. I'm not prescribing. I'm not saying throw away your medicine out of your medicine cabinet. I'm not a doctor. But I'm saying a lot of people could benefit from trying to change their habits, change their health. Try drinking more water for 10 days. See if it doesn't help you. Good, fresh, clean, pure water. Well, I see our time is quickly come and gone today. We're going to begin to wrap this up, but also we'll say in closing that water is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody can understand being thirsty. Everybody can understand what water is, and water is a type of Christ. Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, "If you drink of this water," he was referring to himself, he said, "you'll never thirst again." He's talking about eternal life by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for listening. We hope you know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Have a great day. God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.